And now it is my pleasure to introduce our guest speaker today, and I'm going to introduce his name, and he's going to tell you all about himself and his ministry that he has locally here. Dan Burris, please come forward.
Good morning. It's a privilege to be with you all. I was here back in February for the men's conference. I think that was this year. Yeah, it was this year. Wow, it's already the end of 2023. Just a little bit about me. My name is Dan Burris. We actually just moved to Cedar Rapids. I grew up here, but we moved away and spent about 20 years in the Twin Cities. And I served as a pastor there for about 15 of those 20 years. Currently, I serve with a mission organization that equips under-resourced pastors. And for my ministry, primarily I go to Sierra Leone, which is in West Africa. And I'm traveling there frequently and training pastors, training leaders there who don't have access to what we have here in the United States. And it's just a joy for me to be able to equip those brothers, strengthen them, and then when I leave, they actually end up passing on the teaching. So actually this month, our faithful men there that we're working with, that we're training, they are right now, actually this weekend, they went out and they are training in the villages. So the material that we give them, then they pass on to others, the village pastors who don't have access to training, to education. I am married for about 20 years now, and we have four children, ages 14 to 6. So thank you for having me, and it's a joy to serve you all this morning. Let me pray before we open up God's word this morning. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to gather as your people, as your church. Lord, you have called us to yourself, and you have invited us into a community of believers. And Lord, I pray for the community here at Blair Ridge, that you would be with them, that you would strengthen them, that you would encourage them even today from your word. Lord, we pray that the words that are heard this morning would be used of you to draw us closer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Well, there is perhaps nothing more difficult in our Christian walk, in our Christian life, than prayer. I don't know about you. I see some of you are a little more aged than I am. Some of you are a little younger, but I'm sure no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, prayer seems to be sometimes a constant struggle. And yet our Lord wants to hear from us. He wants a relationship with us. And there is in Scripture much that the Bible says about prayer. And there's a particular passage that has been ministering to me for several years now on this topic of prayer, and it's found in Romans chapter 8. So why don't you open there with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 is a wonderful chapter in the Bible. We could spend months, years actually in this chapter, but I want to focus on just two verses this morning. And we don't have time, obviously, to unpack all of this, to get the context here. But we're going to look at Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Let me read that. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So our Lord has died, he has risen, and he has ascended. And when he ascended into heaven, he sent his Spirit, the Helper, to be with us. And the Spirit, we read here in this text, plays a very, very vital role in our lives as believers, specifically when it comes to prayer. And the role he plays is so very important in our lives. And I want to sort of couch the main point of the message in a sentence like this. You and I, as Christians, you and I cannot pray without the Spirit. You and I cannot pray without the Spirit. Now, that may sound basic, it may sound fundamental, but I want you to see here, it actually is not. It's very, very deep, as the passage talks about here. And really my goal in showing you this main point this morning from this text is really to put on display, as it were, the work of the Spirit in our lives. To really show you from Romans how he's working in our lives, to put him on display, to glorify him. And when he is glorified, always this is the case, when God is glorified, then that helps us in our walk. So to that end, I want to answer three questions just as we sort of unpack this passage. This kind of forms the outline if some of you are note takers for sermons. So the first question I want us to look at here as we look at these two verses is, what does the Holy Spirit do in prayer? What does the Spirit do in prayer? That's question number one. Question number two is, why does the Spirit do what he does in prayer? Why does he do this? What we're going to look at, what he does. Why does he do it? And number three, how does what he does benefit us? And this really comes to the application, the so what factor of the sermon. How does this impact me? What can I take home from the passage this morning? So really the questions are what, why, and how. So first let's look at what the Spirit does in prayer. So let's look at the text again, verse 26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Right? So what does the Spirit do? Well, clearly it tells us here he helps. He helps us. Now, what does it mean that the Spirit helps us? He helps us. What does it mean when Paul says that the Spirit helps us? Well, first of all, let me tell you what it does not mean. All right? Because oftentimes it's helpful to understand what something does mean by first understanding what it does not mean. So when it says that the Spirit helps us in prayer, it doesn't mean that we pray, but when we get stuck, you know, we're at a loss for words, the Spirit sort of comes along and he gives us a nudge. He gives us a boost. He gives us a help. Let me give you an analogy. It's not like the Spirit is a math tutor, right? Some of you maybe struggle with math or have in the past, and it would be good to have a math tutor to come along, and when you get stuck, they kind of push you along. They give you that extra nudge to help you with the math. That's not what it means when it says the Holy Spirit helps us. So in other words, I could say it like this. It's not like sometimes we can pray with the Spirit and sometimes we can pray without the Spirit. No, we can not truly pray unless the Spirit helps us. Right? It also does not mean, when it says the Spirit helps us, it does not mean that we somehow go into our prayer closet or spend our morning in prayer, whatever that time is we have, and we just sort of sit down, we open our Bible, and we just sort of just sit there in a blank trance, as it were. Right? No, we actually have to pray. It's not like the Spirit helps us by taking over completely and praying for us. That's not the help that the Spirit provides either. Right? So what does it mean when it says that he helps us? Well, Paul actually gives us the answer, as he usually does. Look at it, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, and here's the answer to how he helps us. But the Spirit himself intercedes. He intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So how does he help us? It isn't a trick question. How does he help us? We could say he intercedes for us. That's how he helps us. So what does that mean, that he intercedes for us? Well, an intercessor is one who speaks on behalf of another. You might need an intercessor when you're in a conflict with someone else. You need a third party, maybe, to mediate, to come to your aid, right? Often we talk about, within the church, we talk about prayers of intercession. What are those prayers? Those are prayers on which we pray on behalf of someone else. We intercede for them. So someone is sick, someone is struggling, someone's in a conflict, and we pray on behalf of them. We intercede for them. And that is exactly what the Spirit does. That is how he helps us. He intercedes for us. So, we've answered the first question. What does the Spirit do? What does he do? The Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God, helps us. And how does he help us? By interceding for us. Right? Now, number two, and now we're going to get a little bit more, it's going to get more and more to where we sit, more and more personal, but why does the Spirit help us? Right? Why does he help us? And I could put it this way, kind of anticipating the question, why is prayer so difficult? Why is it so hard? You know, you'd think it'd come easy and natural to us as believers. It doesn't. It's hard. At least it is for me, and I think most of you would agree. Right? Well, why is prayer hard? Well, Paul, again, he gives us the answer here. Prayer is hard because he says we are weak. We are weak. Look at the text again, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us. He helps us, why? Because we are weak. He helps us in our weakness. So this means that we are weak, of course, in many areas, but especially we are weak in this area when it comes to prayer. Right? This is the implication here. Paul is saying we are weak when it comes to prayer. Why do I say that? Well, look what Paul goes on to say. He actually explains how we are weak. He says, for, verse 26 again, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. We don't know what to pray as we ought. That is specifically here how we are weak. According to this text, we do not know how to pray as we ought. So what is our weakness? Our weakness in prayer is a problem, I would say, of content. Or let me put it this way. Our weakness is our ignorance. Now, what are we ignorant of? What do we have lacking in content of when it comes to prayer. Paul says, we do not know what to pray as we ought. So let me give you an example to help answer the question of what we are ignorant in when it comes to prayer. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, talks about a thorn in the flesh that he experienced in his life. And if you remember that account, he writes that he asked the Lord, and it says, I think in some translations it says he implored the Lord, I think three times, that this thorn in the flesh would be taken from him. Right? Many people, commentators, scholars believe that that means, you know, three sets of times in his life that he kind of asked for this to be taken away. And do you remember what he says the Lord told him? He says, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Now, we know that and that's common to us, but the question I want to ask that you may not have thought about before is, was Paul supposed to pray that his thorn in the flesh be removed? Yeah, I heard a yes. So I want to argue, in one sense, that he was not supposed to pray that his thorn in the flesh be removed. And the reason I say that is because his thorn in the flesh wasn't removed. He prayed and God answered with a no. In that moment, Paul, we could say, was weak. He was ignorant. What was he ignorant of? He was ignorant of God's will. He did not know what the Lord had for his life. It was the Lord's will for Paul to have this thorn in the flesh. And we know it produced something good in him. It produced power, because power is perfected in weakness. Now, in one sense, I heard one of you say, yes, it was appropriate for Paul to pray that that thorn in the flesh be removed. And I would agree with you. Because why? We are to take everything before the Lord in prayer. So in one sense, he wasn't supposed to pray. And in another sense, he was. Depending on how you look at it. The point is, and using that example, and it's a simple example, but the point is that we are weak when it comes to pray. That is, we, so many times in our life, do not know what the Lord's will is. We do not know what to pray for as we ought, as Paul says. We just don't know. Let me give you a couple more examples that maybe may be a little even more relatable to you. What do you pray for when you have a good friend who loses a loved one unexpectedly? What do you pray for that friend? Sometimes it's really hard to know, isn't it? What do I pray for this person right now? Or what do you pray for? Some of you, maybe you've raised children. And you raised them to trust the Lord, to follow the Lord, and they've walked away from the Lord. What do you pray for that child? They would come back? What is the Lord's will? We don't know what the Lord's will necessarily is in their life. Or we had a couple in our church in Minnesota that were, they were trying to have children, and they were infertile for years and years and years, and my heart just broke for them in that condition. What do you pray for them in that condition? What do you pray? What do you pray when your joy is lost, when your circumstances are just a mess and you can't put anything right, you can't put anything together, your hope is gone? What do you pray? So oftentimes we're at a loss. We don't know. We don't know. Like, have you ever prayed for something that you thought was God's will only to turn out that it wasn't? Lord, I really want this job. Seems like the perfect fit for me. And the Lord says no. So often, We don't know what the Lord's will is. We don't know what his plans are. I like what one old preacher, actually from the 17th century, his name's Thomas Boston. He put our weakness like this. He put it really well. He says, we might pray against God's mercy. We actually might do that unknowingly. Sometimes, maybe sometimes we might knowingly do that. We might pray for what could hurt us. He says we might pray for what feeds our sinful desires. We might not pray for what we truly need. Simply, we might not pray according to the will of God. That's the weakness that we face. Paul says here, that's our weakness. Now, in all these examples, let me say something. We can certainly say our prayers, right? And we should, right? We can offer prayers to the Lord. But so much of the time, we don't know really what to pray for as we ought, or as is fitting according to the will of God. Think about it. Our Lord, there was at least one occasion in his life where he was weak when it came to prayer, with respect to his humanity, when he was in the garden, sweating great drops of blood. Okay? So I think if our Lord was weak, we sure are weak. And of course, Paul says we are. But let me say that there are certain things in life that we do know that it's God's will, and we can pray for those things. I think of one example. I think of 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says this, and we're coming up to that season here, in everything, give thanks. And then Paul says, why? For this is God's will for you. So when you're struggling with complaining, you know that that's something that you can pray to the Lord and ask him to help you with that, because in everything we are to give thanks. For this is God's will. And of course, there are other areas of life that we know is God's will because the Bible clearly tells us. But oftentimes we just don't know what his will is until it happens to us in time. Right? And the analogy I like to use is, do you know when I knew that it was God's will that I marry my wife? When did I know that? When I got married. Right? When it happened. Now, I was fairly confident. I was like 99% sure before the marriage ceremony. But it wasn't until I said, I do, that I knew then it was God's will that I am married. We often don't know what his will is until it happens to us in the course of our lives. And until that time, we are weak. And the whole point is that we are weak in the moment. So often, we just don't know what to pray for. Now, before I answer a final question of really, how does this help me? How does the Spirit's work help me in this? Let me maybe address two things that you're thinking about, maybe objections that you have in your mind. Number one is, you'd say, Dan, I know, you don't have to tell me that there are certain things, many things, in fact, that I don't know what God's will is, and I know I am weak. And so that is why when I pray, I close every prayer with, Lord, your will be done. Lord, I pray all this according to your will. Have you ever prayed something like that? Yeah, I'm sure you have. I'm sure each of you have. And if you prayed that, you're making the point. You're really making the point. Lord, I could be wrong here. This is my desire. But Lord, I want your will to be done ultimately and not mine. And it's a prayer that showing your heart, where your heart is, that you want the Lord's will to be done. And that's a good prayer to pray, because oftentimes we don't know. And the second thing that I might add is sort of addressing maybe an objection or a concern that you might be thinking about, of what about all those places? And I addressed this a little bit earlier. What about all those places in Scripture where it does tell us what to pray for? We have many. We have many of those where we're told this is what we are to pray for in the moment. And I think specifically here, I think of the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer comes to mind. The Lord's Prayer is a beautiful prayer, but something about the Lord's Prayer is, if you read it closely, Jesus doesn't say to pray these things. And we're not going to have time to turn there and look at that, but he doesn't say to pray these things. He says, pray in this way. Right? He doesn't say, now there's nothing wrong with praying the actual content, the actual words of the Lord's Prayer. Many churches have that tradition to do that. There's nothing wrong with that. Only though, if your heart is in it. And that's Jesus' whole point in the Lord's Prayer. There are Pharisees, they're hypocrites, and they like to stand in the street corner, and they like to pray these big, long, impressive prayers to be seen by men. Jesus says, don't pray like that. You pray like this. Pray in this way. And the Lord's Prayer ultimately, and if we had time, maybe another time, we could unpack that. The Lord's Prayer is ultimately a prayer to change us. It's about what we are to be and who we are to become, not about getting from the Lord. So with that said, let's just review what we've learned this morning so far. What does the Spirit do in prayer? What does he do? He helps us by interceding for us, right? So he's interceding, he's praying on behalf of us, right? And why do we need him to do that work? Because we're weak. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. Now, let's answer the final question. The third question is, really, how does the Spirit interceding for us, how does that help us? Right? Really, how does it help our weakness? Well, Paul tells us in verse 27, let's read on. Verse 27, he says, and he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So, because the Spirit, as verse 27 says, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints, how? Notice how he does it. According to the will of God, all of the prayers of the Spirit are always answered, we could say, in the affirmative. Why? Because the Spirit knows what God's will is. The Spirit and the Father are one God in three persons. It's not like the Spirit doesn't know what the Father's plans are. No, he knows specifically and intimately with perfection what the Father's plans are, what his will is. And so when the Spirit is interceding, his intercession, we could say, is perfect. It's not like ours, which is weak, because we are ignorant. So here's why the Spirit's work is so important for us. Here's why this is such a big deal. Because we are weak when it comes to prayer. That is, we truly don't know what to pray for in any given situation so many times. What the Spirit does is he takes our ill-informed and inadequate prayers and he prays on behalf of us, according to the will of God. I like what one person said. They said this, it's like we pray and the Spirit fixes our prayers on the way up. What great help that is. That is great help. And so what I want to leave you with this morning is I want to leave you with two realities and three encouragements. two realities from what we've seen this morning about these answers, about this text, and then three encouragements. The first reality is that if you are not a Christian, if you don't know the Lord, then you can certainly say prayers. You can offer up what some might look on and say, well, that person is praying something that resembles prayer. But I want to say you cannot truly pray if you're not a Christian. You cannot truly offer up to God what pleases him and accomplishes his will. And the reason is, as Paul says earlier in Romans chapter 8, is because if we're not a Christian, that means we don't have the Spirit. Right? And what does Paul say here? He says that the Spirit, who does the Spirit intercede for? He intercedes for who? The saints, in verse 27. Right? He's interceding for us, for God's people. One Puritan pastor said that prayer without the Spirit is like the lowing of oxen and grunting of hogs. If you know what that sounds like, if you're from a farm, sounds like, That's like what praying without the Spirit is like. That's the first reality. If you're not a Christian, you can't truly pray. But the second reality is sort of similar. If you are a Christian, you cannot pray without the Spirit. Why? Because you're weak, which means you truly don't know what to pray for without him. But it doesn't stop there. Paul doesn't end it there. He goes on in verse 27 to say the benefit of what the Spirit does for us. If you are a Christian, you have the Spirit. And if you have the Spirit, then you can pray. And you can pray, and your prayers can be answered with a yes, because the Spirit is interceding for you according to the will of God. And so, let me leave here this morning with three encouragements for you. Number one, I want you to be encouraged that in your groaning and in your ignorance in prayer, the Holy Spirit and God the Father is not sitting up in heaven and he's not watching you and he's not saying, why can't my child finally get it together already? They've been at this for 40 years. No, you're not being watched. You're being understood. You're being understood because you have the Spirit. He's interceding for you. Take that to heart. You're being understood. Even though so much of the time when you pray, when I pray, it feels like, man, is this really doing anything? Is the Lord really hearing me now? Is this worth my time? No, you're being understood in those moments. Number two, the second encouragement I want to leave you with is that God's will, we haven't touched on this directly here, but I want to say it this morning. God's will be accomplished in your life despite your poor prayer life. God is God, and he's going to have his way. And nothing can frustrate the plans of God, not even our weak prayers. But I'm so thankful God calls us to join him, to have a relationship with him in prayer. We have access to him. We can go to him as our heavenly Father and pour out our hearts to him. And then finally, number three, the third encouragement that I want to leave you with this morning is that in your weakness and in your struggle, don't expect, I just want maybe to settle this for you right now. This will lead into sort of my conclusion here, but don't expect that prayer is somehow going to get easier for you. It's going to be less of a struggle for you. Listen, the Spirit does not remove your weakness. I don't see that in this text. The Spirit doesn't remove my weakness. I wish he did. But he does help my weakness. He does help my weakness. Sometimes I think we consider there are super spiritual Christians in this life, in this world, and they just don't have a struggle in prayer. Man, they can just pray so easily. Think of a person like John Bunyan. John Bunyan wrote Pilgrim's Progress. Great man of God, suffered for the faith. Listen to what he says about prayer. This is Bunyan now. He's a super spiritual Christian. I put that in quotes, right? He's not really, right? He's a Christian, and he has a spirit just like all of us. But listen to what he says. He says, "May I but speak of my own experience and from this tell you of the difficulty I have in prayer." And he goes on to say, now this is written in 17th century English, so it's a little bit hard to understand, but I'll try to do my best to help you to understand it. He says, "For, as for my heart, when I go to pray, I find my heart so reluctant to go to God. And when it is with him, I find my heart so reluctant to stay with him, that many times I am forced in my prayers. First," so Bunyan, he says, "first, I'm forced in my prayers to do two things. First, to beg God." Like, this is kind of like before he's even going to pray, he's praying and begging God that he would take his heart and that he would set his heart on Christ. And then when it was there, secondly, that he would keep it there. And then he says, "Many times I know not what to pray for. I am so blind," Bunyan says. But then he says, "Only blessed be grace. The Spirit helps our weakness." He took courage in Romans 8, 26 and 27. So what we have seen this morning is that prayer is a Holy Spirit thing. Prayer, we could say, is spiritual. It requires a spirit, right? What does the Spirit do in prayer? What is his role in our lives when it comes to prayer? He helps us by interceding for us, right? And why do we need this help? We need this help because we're weak. We're ignorant. We don't know what to pray as we ought. And how does this help us? This helps us because the Spirit intercedes for us, and he's praying for us what we do not know what to pray for. He's praying for us according to the will of God. And so here's really the ultimate takeaway this morning. The ultimate takeaway is embrace your weakness. Embrace your weakness. Embrace the fact that you can't pray on your own. We're so weak when it comes to prayer. And the irony of it is, and this is the irony of the Christian life, when we embrace our weakness, then that is when the Lord starts to use us. That is when we become strong, right? An admission of weakness, after all, is really what prayer is all about. Lord, I am weak and needy, and I need you to provide X for me. I need you to provide X for me. So prayer is, it's an admission of weakness. It's why the great Robert Murray McShane, the great 19th century preacher, once said, "If you want to humble a Christian, just ask about his or her prayer life." We're so bad at it. We're so poor at it. We're weak. We're weak. But only when we're weak, then is he strong. And when he is strong, you can pray, you will pray, you must pray with the powerful intercession of the Spirit. So we can pray, and we can pray boldly because we have the Spirit. And you know what this text has done to me in my prayer life? It's brought me freedom. Freedom, knowing that I ultimately cannot mess it up. The Spirit is praying for me. according to the will of God. Amen? Let me pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you that you've given us so much resources, as it were. Lord, we thank you for the Spirit of God that you have sent into our hearts. Lord, we've only looked this morning at one aspect of what he does, his role in our lives in prayer, and there's so many more, but we thank you for this one aspect this morning. Lord, we thank you that as we pray, the Spirit is praying and interceding for us, Lord. It's such a great help to us. So, Lord, I pray that you would encourage each person this morning that when they go to pray, they know that they have the powerful prayers of the Spirit on their behalf. And, Lord, I pray for Blair Ridge. I pray for them as they go through this season of transition, Lord, that you would be with them, that you would direct and guide them each step of the way, Lord, and that you would bring to them a new pastor, a new leader to lead this flock in the ways that you would have for it. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.